Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prolific Fire. I'm your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing unto you, whether you're listening on the phone line, listen online, listen through the podcast, however you listen, whether you listen live or listen next week, next month, next year, whenever the word of God does not expire. And therefore, whenever you listen to it, I pray that it's a blessing unto you. Once again, thank you, everybody. For those that don't know, I am indeed Prophet Stacy, and this is Prolific Fire. The song that I played to open us up tonight was Your Spirit by Tasha Cobbs Leonard, featuring Kiara Shears. With that being said, let's jump right into the word for tonight.
Father God, I thank you for another opportunity, God, to sit before your people to tell them what God says, oh Lord. God, I pray that you give me the strength, God, to bring forth this message, God, the way that you gave it to me, Lord God, that your name may get the glory. Sit me down, Lord God, and use my mouth mightily tonight, God, to say what you want to say on tonight, God, that your people may have a change of heart, Lord God, that your people may be convicted, Lord God, about some things, Lord God, that their hearts may be softened about some other things, Lord God, that they may be willing to be the vessel, Lord God, that you call them to be in this season, God, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That's Exodus chapter 2. Verses 1 through 10 from the CEV. This is when Moses is born. A man from the Levi tribe married a woman from the same tribe, and she later had a baby boy. He was a beautiful child, and she kept him inside for 3 months. But when she could no longer keep him hidden, she made a basket out of reeds and covered it with tar. She put him in the basket and placed it in tall grass along the edge of the Nile River. The baby's older sister stood off at a distance to see what would happen to him. About that time, one of the king's daughters came down to take a bath in the river. While her servant women walked along the riverbank, she saw the basket basking in the tall grass and sent one of them to put it out the water. When the king's daughter opened the basket, she saw the baby crying and felt sorry for him. She said, "This must be one of the Hebrew babies." At once, the baby's older sister came up and asked, "Do you want me to get a Hebrew woman to take care of the baby for you?" "Yes," the king's daughter answered. So the girl brought the baby's mother, and the king's daughter told her, "Take care of the child, and I will pay you." The baby's mother carried him home and took care of him. And when he was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, who adopted him. She named him Moses because she said, "I pulled him out of the water." Side note, this is just a side note, just in case somebody is new tuning in and wondering why the mother in tonight's foundational text couldn't just keep her baby. She couldn't keep her baby because he was a boy, and there was a pharaoh on the loose, an evil king, out to kill all male children under the age of 2. See Exodus chapter 1. For more details. But as God would have it, it was Pharaoh's own daughter in tonight's text that would find the baby floating in a basket in the Nile River, pull him out of the water, and end up adopting him. And with that being said, Tonight, I want you to think about your childhood. Were you raised up in a bad neighborhood? Perhaps the environment inside the home was toxic. Perhaps it was dysfunctional, both inside and outside of your home. Continue thinking. Who was it that pulled you out of the water? Who was it that kept your neighborhood, kept your environment from killing you? Who was it that kept you out of trouble, kept you from becoming a statistic, pregnant at an early age, involved in gang activity, a drug user? Who was it that kept you from dropping out of school? Who was it that kept you out of prison, kept you out of the foster care system, kept you out of the grave, dead at an early age? Who was it that sacrificed themselves? Who was it that believed in you, even though they knew who you were? Even though they knew who you were, still they felt sorry for you and showed you mercy and favor. They knew who you were. They knew the kind of environment, the kind of neighborhood, the kind of home you came from. But still, they felt sorry for you and showed you mercy and favor. Who was it that did the hugest favor of your life? Who was it that did you the hugest favor of your life by pulling you out of the water, pulling you out of the streets, pulling you out of the care of their parents, who everybody knew was unfit? For me, it was my grandparents. They pulled me out of the water, pulled me away from my biological mother at a very young age, and raised me themselves. They pulled me away before more hurt and injury could be done. They pulled me away before more hurt and injury could be done. They pulled me away after seeing my head all bandaged up and hearing an excuse they just weren't buying. Whatever happened, there's a visible scar on the right side of my head, a scar I carry to this day as a grown woman, even after all these years. Somebody, maybe for you, it was not a blood relative that stepped in and pulled you out. Instead, perhaps it was a coach or a concerned teacher that noticed something going on with you. They noticed that something wasn't right and decided to go over and above the call of duty, over and above their paycheck, and help you because you needed the help. They decided to go over and above the call of duty, go over and above their paycheck, and help you. That's why I applaud teachers and coaches and everybody in that type of position, because a lot of them, they do. They go over and above their paycheck. They really do. A lot of them do. Somebody went over and above their paycheck to help you because you needed the help. Who is that person? Maybe you didn't verbally know how to say it. Maybe you didn't verbally know how to say it, but they could sense something was wrong and you needed the help. Beloved, that's the real meaning of love thy neighbor. Beloved, that's the real meaning of love thy neighbor as yourself. It's going out of your way, sacrificing for the greater good of that other person. It's going out of your way, sacrificing for the greater good of that other person that has a need. Love thy neighbor as yourself. That's what Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31 talks about. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Love thy neighbor as yourself has nothing to do with blood or family connections or even a community, because your neighbor could be anywhere, geographically speaking. But if God is putting on your heart to help them, to pull them out the water, then for you, that person is your neighbor in need of your personal attention. Then for you, that person is your neighbor in need of your personal attention. Love thy neighbor, part one, tonight's message. Yes, for me, it was relatives that pulled me out of the water and changed the direction of my young life for the better. But that's not always the case. As I feel many of you can testify, that's not always the case. So many times, we see things and situations, and we drag our feet. So many times we see things and situations and we drag our feet, not wanting to get involved, believing that someone else closer to the situation will step in and do something. What if the king's daughter, you know I like to make you think on prolific fire, so what if the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter of all people, in tonight's foundational text, had looked and saw that it was a Hebrew baby and said, that's a Hebrew baby, therefore that's a Hebrew problem. Let somebody from the Hebrew community take the risk, not me. For me to take the risk and pull this baby out of the water, I would be defying the order my father put in place to have him killed in the first place. No, it's just not worth it. Let someone else, someone from that community, take the risk. What if Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, had said that, thought that? What if she had thought like that? Poor baby Moses would have been up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. But she didn't think or say anything like that. Thank goodness she didn't say or think anything like that. She didn't close her mind off to helping him, thinking somebody else would come along and save the day. She didn't close her mind off to helping him because he was of another race or ethnicity of people than her. You know how petty we sometimes can be about something like that. But not her, not Pharaoh's daughter. The only thing knowing where he came from did for her was make her more compassionate towards him. The only thing knowing where he came from did for her was make her more compassionate towards him. The text says she felt sorry for him. But love, don't let what you know about a person, their race or ethnicity, stop you from helping them. If anything, let it make you more compassionate. But love, don't let what you know about a person, their race or ethnicity, stop you from helping them. If anything, let it make you more compassionate towards them. She could have let the perfect opportunity to be a servant pass her by. She could have let the perfect opportunity to be a servant pass her by. That basket containing a healthy baby boy, containing a healthy Hebrew baby, could have floated on past her. I wonder how many opportunities to be a servant have you let pass you by? I wonder how many opportunities to be a servant have you let pass you by because the timing for you wasn't right. That's the way we do. We always thinking about ourselves. You let the opportunity pass you by because the timing wasn't right for you. Not thinking about the other person or considering the other person's needs, but the timing wasn't right for you. So you tricked yourself into believing that you would go back and help later. So you tricked yourself into believing that you would go back and help later. Only later is not guaranteed to come. Only later is not guaranteed to come. If that's you and you're the queen or king of hesitating, if that's you on tonight and you're the queen or king of hesitating, of procrastinating when it comes to stepping out in faith and serving and helping others, I want you to remember that the Bible says, and this is Jesus speaking, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's John chapter 9, verse 4. That's John chapter 9, verse 4 from the King James Version. And if you and I are to imitate Christ like Ephesians tells us to do, and if you and I are to imitate Christ, really imitate Christ like Ephesians tells us to do, then you and I must work while it's day. You and I must work while it's day, meaning do it while we have the opportunity to do. Do it while we have the opportunity to do. Don't wait until it's night. Don't wait until night cometh. I hear this so strong in my spirit. Don't wait until the night cometh. You see, there may come a time as life continues when you can't see as you once could. You can't walk as you once could. For the season of your life has changed, and you're no longer able to work as you once could. Don't wait for night to come upon you. Work now. Serve now, give now, sacrifice now to pull somebody that needs you out of the water. Don't wait for night to come upon you again. There may come a time when you can't see as you once could. You can't walk as you once could. For the seasons of your life has changed. You're no longer able to work like you could. But now is the time to work while it's still day. Work now, serve now. Give now, sacrifice now to pull somebody that needs you out of the water. Remember, the Bible also has Jesus on record as saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of them, my brethren, you did it to me. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, from the New King James. Again, it says, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least, my brethren, you did it to me. So I ask you, what have you done to Jesus? That's a good question. So I ask you, what have you done to Jesus? What have you done with that moment that was presented to you? What have you done with that moment that was presented to you? And you could have served. You could have gave. You could have pulled somebody out of the water. But what did you do? Be honest with yourself. You don't have to answer me, but answer yourself. What did you do? And what would you be willing to sacrifice and give up, change in order to make things right, because somebody needs your sacrifice? Would you be willing to open your home to a child that needs you and adopt them? Would you be willing to open your home to a child that needs you and adopt them? Would you be open to adoption for a child that needs you, the way that the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, adopted Moses? I need to say that because somebody, the Lord has put adoption on your heart for a number of years, but you're still dragging your feet on the process. I'm not talking to those of you who have tried the process, who have gotten the process started, but that's for those who you know God has talked to you about adoption, but you're dragging your feet in the process. Again, would you be willing to open your home to a child that needs you and adopt them the way that the king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, adopted Moses? Or is there something less permanent you have on your mind? You know God's been dealing with you about it, but you have yet to do it. You know what God has been dealing with you about. Maybe you have something that's permanent on your mind that God's been dealing with you about, but you have yet to do it. Now, if you are an avid prolific fire listener supporter, thank you. But if you're an avid prolific fire listener supporter, you already know that I'm a child ambassador, and I have been sponsoring children for well over 20 years, and I don't regret not one minute of it. I've been pulling children out of the water, pulling children out of the hands of poverty via World Vision and their life-changing program promoting health care, clean water, nutritious food, education, and job training for parents, etc. For just $39 a month, you can make some needy child happy. Happy to have you as a sponsor. You can make a lasting impact on the life of a child and his or her community. Just something to consider. Again, I ask you, what would you be willing to sacrifice, give up, change in order to make things right? Because somebody needs your sacrifice. Your sacrifice may not even look like my sacrifice. It may not look like the king's daughter's sacrifice for Moses in tonight's text. But still, somebody needs your sacrifice. That's what we're here tonight to discover. What is your sacrifice? And many of you know what it is. God has already been talking to you about it. Perhaps it is sponsorship. Perhaps it is adoption. You know. You already know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. God was willing to sacrifice Jesus to make things right between him and humanity. God was willing to sacrifice Jesus to make things right between him and humanity. But that was his level of sacrifice. Again, we're talking about your sacrifice. That was Jesus. That was God's level of sacrifice. Of course, I know that you are not God, but you are somebody. Of course, I know, as I said, you are not God, but you are somebody. So what's your level of sacrifice? What has God been dealing with you about? How are you supposed to love thy neighbor? How are you supposed to love thy neighbor? That's a good question. How are you supposed to love thy neighbor? Let's seal this message in prayer. Father God, soften every heart listening under the sound of my voice. Soften their hearts to work while it's day, doing what you put on their hearts to do, and be a blessing to someone who definitely needs to be pulled out of the water. Somebody remember your childhood. It was not in vain. Somebody remember your childhood. It was not in vain. Who helped you? Now it's time to pay it forward. Now it's time to pay it forward. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time to love thy neighbor and love for real. If you're not saved and you're under the sound of my voice, not saved simply means you're not in right standing with God. Repeat after me. Father God, I am a sinner in need of grace, in need of your grace and deliverance. I pray that Jesus will come into my heart right now and save me. I open up my heart. I believe that Jesus is your son and that he died so that I can live. And I want to live. Somebody confess that. And I want to live. Therefore, come into my heart, God, by way of your son. Cause me to live. In Jesus' name, amen. With that being prayed on tonight, we welcome you into the family. We welcome you into the family, into the body of Christ. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Stay connected with the ministry because you definitely have a family that cares. We care so much, we give you plenty of opportunities to connect. Like right now, if you need prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can reach out to me directly, no problem. Call or text 865-408-8690. That's 865-408-8690, or email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone right now via Block Talk Radio, there's a reason, there's a purpose that you're on the phone right now. So if you're on the phone right now via Block Talk Radio and you have a specific prayer need, press 1 on your phone, and I will be with you after these last few announcements, I promise. I will be with you. Get your prayer request in your head, and we can pray right here, right now, and get it done. If you need this ministry's PayPal information or Cash App info, to access that PayPal information, go to paypal.me/prolificfire. That's paypal.me/prolificfire, or use the Cash App, the dollar symbol and Prolific Fire. Prolific Fire is the P in Prolific is capital, and the F in Fire is capital, written all together. Cash App, dollar symbol, Prolific Fire. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page, and you can DM me on either one of those, and I will assist you, and I will assist you. People literally are leaving the prayer requests on the ministry's Facebook page, and that's fine. Reaching out on Twitter and Instagram, that's fine as well. Do what you need to do. Also, if you're interested in learning more about sponsoring a child and perhaps becoming a sponsor, visit the ministry's new website. Go to prolificfire.com. Everybody, be sure to go to prolificfire.com if you want to sponsor a child, or even if you don't, still go to the ministry's website. You can leave your prayer request that way. You can donate that way if you desire to. You can set up a train the pain session for those of you that have pain that needs to be trained. You can set up a train the pain session with yours truly, with me. You can do that right there on the website, and we will be in touch. Check out the website. Then join us for Faith on the Line with Providence Page. If you don't get your prayer request in on tonight for whatever reason, or if you don't reach out to me privately, this is another opportunity for you to get your prayer request in, to get your prayer needs met. Join us for Faith on the Line with Prophet Faith for prayer and encouragement. We always have a wonderful time in prayer because the Lord meets us there. He meets us there in prayer. His presence is definitely there. Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. That's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. By calling the number that many of you called tonight, thank you so much. But for those of you online listening and you need the number is 347-426-3782. That's 347-426-3782. And don't worry if I'm going too fast. Everything that I'm saying will be up on all my social media sites throughout the week. And your prayer request will be taken that night as well. So call in. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, where the motto is seeking to help you where you hurt, which simply means we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. I want each of you to join me back here Monday night for the second part. For the second part of tonight's message, we're going to have a brand new text and a brand new download from God. The message is indeed entitled, Love Thy Neighbor, Part 2. So come back for Part 2. To God be the glory. Tonight on Faith on the...
At this time, I would like to extend the offer one more time. Is there anybody on the phone lines tonight in need of prayer? If so, press 1 in your palm. Well, as I always say, there is room for prayer. Maybe not live prayer tonight, but there is always room for prayer. So reach out if you need to. And hopefully we will see you on Friday night for Faith on the Line. With that being said, everybody hang up and please pray that I'm able to end this episode. But you can hang up now.